Appreciate this, another opportunity of being with you here at the church here. I was here last year, I think about this same time. And trust that the Lord will be in the arrangements, and I desire that you would be in continue in instant prayer, silent prayer, as I stand before you. I have some things I've been trying to study upon for several days now, and I trust the Lord will be in the arrangements that I might be able to say something that would be beneficial to you. I've always wanted to say things that would be beneficial to the Lord's people.
Yes.
Can everybody hear me? I might need to talk a little louder.
Yeah.
I see somebody looks like they're straining to hear what I'm saying. Been awful hot and dry up in my part of the country, but heard somebody say the other day we ought to be thankful that it's not snowing. It wouldn't be a terrible thing to shovel snow in this heat. So I thought that was pretty cute. But I've got some parables. The Lord often spoke in parables, but in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, Lord willing, I'd like to use this for a text today, but there's seven different parables in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and all of them relate to the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. But he begins this chapter out, said the same day, went 13th chapter, first verse, went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the floor. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And here's what Jesus said. He said, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, that he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away from that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. But he said to his disciples, But blessed, I'm going to skip down to verse 16, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Yeah.
For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. My beloved, this morning we're living in a blessed time. There was things revealed in the New Testament kingdom that was not revealed in the Old Covenant law worship. So we've come to a better day, Scripture teaches us. But he explains even this. Well, I might go ahead and pick up a verse of Scripture where Paul said, when you read in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, when you read, you may understand my knowledge, that's in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So there again, he's talking about there, we've come to a better day, that many prophets and righteous men, But he explains this parable out. And somebody might say, well, if all these seven parables is to concern the kingdom of heaven, what about the parable? And I want to bounce a little forward, but I want to back up again to this parable. You know, where it said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed in his field. And while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the house servants of the householder came and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tared? He said, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and give them up? But he said, nay, lest ye, while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares to bind them in bundles, but gather the wheat into my barn. Yeah. So we find that Jesus, even they came and asked him about this parable. And he said, he that soweth in this is the 37th verse of this 13th chapter. He said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. He said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them that do iniquity. I don't believe when he says the end of the world here, he's talking about the end of this time world, but I believe he's talking about the end of the law world. Jesus is not going to send his angels in the resurrection for his people, but you know, if you go to the book of Thessalonians, it said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet in the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But these angels, I believe, is talking about his ministers. He said, then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom. There came a separation between the old covenant law, worship, and the New Testament gospel, kingdom. You know, John made a separation when he came there preaching in the wilderness of Judea. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he used these words. He said, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore meat, or fruits meat for repentance. He said, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham through our father. For God, I say unto you that God is able to raise up children of these stones, raise up children unto Abraham. Now that was not, he didn't baptize those folks. No. Go back in the 52nd, and he said, now also the axe is laid under the roots of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. 52nd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah said, awake, awake, O Zion. You know, sometimes God's people need to wake up. They certainly do. We go, sometimes they go to sleep. Awake, awake, O Zion. Put on thy strength, O Jerusalem. Put on thy beautiful garments. From henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. See, that's a separation from that old law covenant was given to the nation of Israel. And now the gospel kingdom here, the kingdom of heaven, is given to spiritual Israel. That was to the nation of Israel. So all the Jews could worship under that covenant. But now we've come to a better day, a new covenant. And so he said, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. There will no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and unclean. Also in the 35th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, it says this, and the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. So there's a separation there from the old covenant to the new covenant. So when Jesus came, he began to tell them about the parable of the sower. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. That which he had received, the seed, by the wayside." So, sometimes I've been to funerals and different things and preached funerals, and I've witnessed the Lord's people receiving what I was preaching, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One time I remember particularly, and I was at the Laurel Grove Church in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and the church sat right on the street. And oftentimes there'd be folks come from a motel just because it was close to the motel. But there was a brother that came in there one morning. I still very vividly remember it. He amen from me from the time I started preaching till I finished. After the service, I began to talk to him and found out he was a Southern Baptist minister. And he really didn't have an understanding, yet it made contact with him. Yeah, and I had a primitive Baptist meeting, old Baptist meeting several years ago, and there was a brother that preached that all the people that were God's people were the ones that received the seed in the good ground. Well, I'll take issue with that. They all received the seed. In the book of Luke, it says the seed is the word of God. And in the first chapter of the book of Corinthians, it said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. My friends, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's an evident fact, if you've ever rejoiced in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's lifted you up, if they've been a stirring, as the first time I ever came among a people that was called Primitive Baptist, they was a stirring that went on within me, my friend. I knew that I'd found the banqueting house. I thought about the scripture where he said, "The Lord brought me to the banqueting house." Yes. And the banner over me is love. Oh, the Lord led me in this direction. I didn't grow up among the old Baptist people. I grew up among a different kind of Baptist folks. I'll tell you, my friends, I found the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoiced in it the first time I've heard it. And I'm still rejoicing in it, my friend. When I hear one of the gospel ministers blowing up on the gospel trumpet, my friends, I think about the song where the hymn writer penned down, "Farewell, vain world, I'm going home. Oh, how sweet to die." Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. And so, but here's those that hear by the wayside are they that don't understand it. It makes contact with the heart. They've been born of the Spirit, but it don't. They don't have. They've been taught the head religion. They've been taught false doctrine, as I was in my young life. I've been preaching among the old Baptists now about 49 years. and I get tired in the way, but never all the way. What a wonderful road to travel. I remember there used to be an old elder came from the Mud Creek. I believe his name was Crumley. I remember him preaching at our association many, many years ago. And he said, some of his own folks told him, said, "Brother Crumley, if you run with them old Baptists, you're going straight to hell." You know what Brother Crumley said? He said, "If this is a road to hell, it's the sweetest road I've ever traveled." It's the sweetest road I've ever traveled. The fellowship that we have with one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it a wonderful thing? But here they that receive the seed in the stony places, they that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth. That word anon means immediately receiveth it. Yet they yet had he not root in himself, but believeth or endureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. I want to tell you, it makes me think about a song that's in, I'm sure it's in this song book that we sing sometimes up our way. God is not promised skies always blue or flower-strewn pathways all our life through. But God is promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way. A grace for our trials, a help from above, unfading kindness and undying love. My friends, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if they persecute me, they'll also persecute you. In the book of 2 Timothy, it says this about the third chapter. He said, yea, all that live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said, but evildoers and deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And also tribulation. Jesus said about? He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yes, what does good soldiers, when the battle gets hot, they don't turn and run away. They just close rank and push forward. Go forward, my friends. And so when these folks, and I've witnessed this around the church kingdom since I've been in the church, I've seen folks when their troubles come, they can't endure. They don't endure when the tribulation or the persecution arises because of what they stand on and the Word of God. But we're just to continue to press forward, my friends, when the battle gets hot. And so these are they that receive the seed among the stony places. But he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You remember the young ruler that came to Jesus, and he's calling him. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, Jesus didn't tell him what he could do to inherit eternal life. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. The man answered the Lord and said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And it says, the Lord, beholding him, loved him. You know, there's folks, religious folks that tell you that fella went to torment, or spirit and soul went to torment when he passed. My friend, that was one of God's elect. He loved him. The Lord loves his people with an everlasting love. It has no end. And what a wonderful scripture. I don't want to get into it, but in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He named 17 different things there, my friends. He said, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, perils, war. He said, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, and Paul said, and you, if Paul was persuaded, you are to be persuaded. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things after death, nor things that present, or things to come, shall be able, nor any other creature, that covered it all, yeah, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, if he loved you in eternity past, he's going to love you in eternity to come. Yes. He died for those on the cross of Calvary that he loved. He didn't die for anybody. I guess one of the most misinterpreted scripture they are in the scriptures, John 3:16. But what world's under consideration? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that world is talking about the world of his people. He didn't love Esau, but he loved Jacob. Remember that in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. So God don't love everybody. I know that's a very popular thing that religious folks believe, but it's not according to the word of God, my friends. And so this man, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said, yet likest thou one thing, sell that what ye have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have what? Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the man went away sorrowful, said he had great possessions. Well, does that mean that a person that's got a bank account can't want to know? That you can't be a disciple of Christ? But this man was trusting. Jesus said in the place that he was talking about, he said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier, he said, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So when the disciples heard this, they was astonished. And they said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, it's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. Peter began to say, Lord, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Jesus answered Peter and said, there's no man that has left house, brethren and sisters, father and mothers, wife and children and lands for my sake, but he shall receive what? He shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, listen to time frame. Now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Now it didn't say wives, you're only supposed to have one wife. So my friend, I'm going to tell you this morning, I've received a hundredfold. Since I united with the church and obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I demolish each one of you if you've never taken up your cross to follow the Lord. You deny yourself. Come out from among the world and be a separate people and follow the Lord. You know, it's one thing to believe the gospel, and it's another thing to obey it. So if we obey the gospel, we're going to have to be baptized into the church kingdom here in the world. You know, Jesus said this also concerning in the book of Luke. He said, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there I'll bestow all my goods and all my fruits. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he said, but so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, he's not talking about eternal glory there. He's talking about in the kingdom of heaven, where neither moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure's out on the lake today, your heart's going to be out there also. Or on the golf course. But if your treasure is laid up in the kingdom of God, this is where you want to be. And if all possible, that you're providentially hindered or sick or something, you'll probably be at the church meeting. Oh, my friends, when it comes to church, David said a long time ago, well, I was glad when they came and said unto me, let us go up into the house of God. Oh, what a wonderful place. This is a little oasis. This is a home away from home, my friend. This is just a little foretaste of that which is to come, my friends. Eternal. Sometimes people say, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Well, it's not yet appeared unto us what it will be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Yes, we're going to look in a glorified body. My friends, we can't see him as he is with these eyes that we have here in these fleshly bodies. We're going to see him as he is. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thought to entertain? And it's going to be one eternal day. I can't explain that to you. I can explain being born, growing up, and kind of, I'm considered a senior citizen now. But my friends, one eternal day. What a wonderful thought this morning. Be with the Lord forever and ever, world without end. And so, Jesus put some figurative language in the book of Luke. It came to pass as he went in the way, a man said, "Lord, I'll follow thee wheresoever thou goest." Jesus answered and said, "The foxes have holes and birds of ours have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now, that's a very strange expression in some ways. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon the thousand hills, it says in the Old Testament scriptures. But he became poor that we might be made rich. He came and took the body of man, went to the cross of Calvary, suffered as no man ever suffered, my friends. Crucified him there. All the sins of all the elect family was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a load he must have carried up Golgotha's hill, my friend. And he put away our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us no more. But Jesus said unto another, follow me. You know what the man, he answered the Lord and he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father." Jesus answered him and said, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." I don't believe he meant not to bury your folks when they pass away, but I believe he is using figurative language. Another also said unto him, he said, "Lord, I'll follow thee, but suffer me first to go bid them farewell, which are home at my house." Jesus answered and said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, I never did plow with a mule or a horse, but I've heard the old timers talk about it. They had tractors when I came along, but they tell me that the older generations would look at a field and they'd pick out some kind of a point, a stake or a tree or something, and they'd look toward that as they plowed with that mule or that horse to the other side to get a straight furrow. What would it be like if a man was looking behind him? You know, my friends, to plow a straight furrow. And so, but Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Why take ye thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the nation of the world seek after." But what did Jesus say? He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Yes. You know, David said this a long time ago in a book, I think it's in the 37th Psalm. He said, "I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread." A preacher friend of mine that passed away not too long ago, he said, "I oftentimes think about what you said to me one day." He said, "You've never seen a hearse going down the road with a U-Haul, pulling a U-Haul." What did Paul say about it in the first book of Timothy, the 6th chapter? He said, "But godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that be that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." He said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." You know, people will kill for money, they'll lie for money, they'll do a lot of things for money. But he said, "The love of money is the root of all evil." He said, those things, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But he said, but now listen to who he's talking to. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Now, how could a person lay hold on it if they didn't have it? Friends, lay hold on eternal life. So as I said, there's nothing wrong with people having a bank account. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with having a huge bank account. You remember back in the old covenant, Abraham's servant, when Abraham sent him down to get a bride for his son, you know what he said when he got to Rebekah's house? He said, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he's become great. He's given him camels. He's given him silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants." Yeah, in that day and time, he would have been considered a very wealthy man. You remember Zacchaeus? He was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And not Republicans, but publicans. Get that point? He was rich. And he and Jesus was about to pass a certain way, and he wanted to see who he was. And he ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came up to the sycamore tree, he looked up and said, "Make haste, Zacchaeus, and come down, for the day I must abide at thy house." Oh, what a wonderful blessing. How would it be for the Lord to go home with you? Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And the Lord said, "The salvation has come to this house." My friend Zacchaeus was one of the Lord's people. But he was wealthy. But, you know, the publicans had a bad reputation. They were something like the IRS today. You remember what John the Baptist said to them when the publicans came to him and said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Extract no more than that which is appointed." When they'd go around and collect the tax, they was taxing some extra, and they'd keep that part. So they didn't have a good reputation. But my friends, I don't believe Zacchaeus fit in that category. But he was wealthy. So when the Lord has blessed many of his children's service, so, you know, and that's what people get confused sometimes about, the riches. It's easier for a camel to go through a needle eye than a rich man. But that man was trusting. The Lord didn't tell him what to do to get eternal life, but he told him what to do to have treasure in heaven. And so these that fell in among the thorns, the things of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and they become unfruitful. They get distracted from the service of God, and they see things that appeals to them. The grass looks greener somewhat on the other side. I remember an elder told this story, and I'll tell it very quickly this morning. He said there's this couple, man and his wife, and they decided they was going to leave the old Baptist church. And so he said they left and went and, you know, quit church. He said, "I ran into the man's wife one day in town," and said, "How are you and so your husband doing?" She said, they answered him and said, "We're only existing." You know, there's a difference in existing and living. Yes. There's a difference, my friends. If you want the true joys and happiness in life, you follow the Lord. That's you right. Seek first the kingdom of God in your life. You'll have the true contentment, peace, and rest and love here in this life. You'll have fellowship with the Lord and his people. And so they that fell into good ground is they that hear the word and understand it and also bring forth fruit. You know what Jesus said in the book of Luke? He said this. He said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the stream beat and the flood arose, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he said, he that cometh to me and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. which when the stream beat upon the house, it immediately fell, and great was the fall of the house. Now, that, no, I'm not advocating to you that one of God's elect will fall from the out of the family of God. That's not what he's teaching. But he's talking about a timely salvation here.
Yes.
And I want to tell you this morning, my friends, I want to go a little bit into the Song of Solomon. He said, and this is like a love letter that the husband would write to his bride, to his wife. He said, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the singing of the birds is coming. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now that's the message to God gives to his children. Rise up, my love, my fire one, and come away. Come out from among the world. Come into the banqueting house. That's the invitation that's being given there. Also in that, I believe it's in the second chapter, it says this. Where is thy beloved gone? O thou fairest among women. He's talking about the church. O thou fairest among women. Where is thy beloved turned aside that we might seek him with thee? Behold, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, the feed in the garden, and the gather lilies. You know what the lilies are? Talking about you, my friends. What does the Lord feed upon him? You know what Jesus said? Herein is my Father glorified, that you might bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. So the more fruit you bear in your life, the more you give glory to the God of heaven, my friends. And that's a pleasing. What you're doing here on this Saturday morning is pleasing unto the Lord.
Yes.
You believe that? He's pleased with you, my friends. And I believe when his children pleases him, he's going to shower his blessings upon him. We're going to feel his presence in our lives here. We're going to feel that spirit stirring within us. Many, many times I've been out to the house of God and felt the stirring of the spirit. I've never shouted in church. I've come close. I'll tell you, my friends, there have been times I could just shout out the praise of God when he comes walking in the midst of the golden candlestick. And blessing his people. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. It's more valuable than anything else here in the world, my friends. It's the most joyous thing that you can experience this side of the glory world.
Yes.
As I said a few moments ago, it's a home away from home. It's an oasis in the desert, my friends. And so he said, where's he gone? He's gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the garden and gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. You know what that's saying? That's talking about fellowship. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Have you ever felt that you're the Lord and he's yours? What a wonderful thing. When I go to the house of God, I want to feel his presence.
Amen.
I want to feel his closeness. As he begins that Song of Solomon, he said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's talking about the relationship that the bride is supposed to have with the husband, my friends. That's a wonderful thing. And he spake and said unto me, Lord, rise up. Yes, we need to get away from the things of the world. And you know, there's time. There's nothing wrong with playing a game of golf or going to the lake. But you do it when not church time. When it comes church, you put him first in your life, my friends, and he'll bless you with richest blessing. He'll pour open the windows of heaven. Have you ever felt? And I'm going to close here in just a second. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. Prove me therewith. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There'll not be room enough to see it. You know, I've been in the house of God. There's not room enough to receive it. Brother David, oh, what a wonderful thing that I've experienced. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give my time in the church for all that was before that. I wouldn't give it. My friends, this is a true treasure in life. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, which when a man hath found, he hath, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he had. You know, I had to sell out. I'm not talking about my material things. I had to sell out all that false doctrine I was taught when I was a young fella. My friends, you know, the book of Proverbs, there's scripture for that. A book of Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not.
Right.
Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So when you buy something, you give up something. Most time it's money, but you have to give up something. So when you come into the house of God, when you buy the truth and sell it not, you have to give up something. You have to put off the old man and put on the new man. You have to give up the things of the world, my friends, to have this glorious peace. Oh, it gets better. It gets sweeter. The old gospel story gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. I trust if you've got something out of what I said today, if you have, you give him the glory and honor.
Amen.
Eschew his great and holy name.
Yes, may God bless you.